Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial and Mexicali Valleys. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with Scott and Maria. And Happy New Year to everyone. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingüe. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And again, Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year! Welcome back.
It's been a while since we've been live.
Well,
we've had two weeks.
But it's cool because everybody who was missing us went to the podcast at KXLradio.com and kind of caught us and you know, maintained the relationship over the internet. So.
Well, I hope everyone that is listening had a good holidays, had time spending with their families, and you know, just had a good time. I mean, it's just those 2 weeks, you know, Christmas, New Year's. It's so hectic and stressful and trying to get everything running around, you know, just people driving in the streets, just cars just swerving, you know, going around me. If I'm trying to go speed limit, people just...
I totally stayed home and didn't do anything.
Well, I did. I stayed away.
I saw some good movies.
So I stayed away on the 24th from stores and...
Far, far away.
Yeah, so it was now back to normal. Now we're done with the holiday. How depressing.
No, wait. It's like, why not just keep that same kind of family and togetherness and fun and enjoying the moment? Just let that keep
Actually,
going.
You know what?
Take away all the confusion and stuff.
Honestly, what I miss is the food. Because there's so much food during the holidays.
I just cleared the last of the tamales last night, so I'll be missing it tonight.
You see, my tamales have been gone for about a week.
Nobody else eats them in my house, so they're like my own personal stash.
The pozole, menudos, tamales, you know, ham, yeah. Buñuelos, champurrado.
We need a Thanksgiving in early February to kind of bring it all back again.
Okay. Today in the show.
Oh, wait. Everybody's on a diet. We can't keep eating, can we?
No. Okay. Today in the show, we have two guests. We have Evelyn Perez. She's a mental health rehab specialist, and Renee Felix, program supervisor for the Transition Age Youth Program.
Ooh, the first time I've heard that without an acronym in quite some time. Transition Age Youth Program, Renee.
Transitional Age Youth Program.
What is that program? Let's talk about it.
Well, first of all, good morning, and thanks for inviting us here
to
your radio show. Basically, the Transition Age Youth Program kind of consists of we target the population between 16 and 25-year-old that could be serious emotional disturb, 16 to 25-year-old age bracket, if you want to mention it. And basically what we do is we provide a variety of services there in our program. And basically this program was actually brought up through the Mental Health Services Act, which is I know in your previous shows you've gotten programs that come and talk about Mental Health Services Act, which was actually passed back in 2004, I believe, in which
I remember voting for it
back in 2004, correct? And they wanted to target this population, so that's what we're providing here to the community.
So, with this money from this voter-led fund, you guys have gone and created a program for transitional age youth, 16 to 25. So, why that age group? Why did they need something special that wasn't already there, I guess?
Well, basically, I guess they want to kind of target this population because they're kind of transitioning to adulthood pretty soon.
It's a difficult without having a mental health issue.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so what the goal is for this program is to have them be self-dependent and find out what goals they want to do in life, whether they want to do, you know, educational, occupational, what is it they want to do? So that's what we're here for and try to strive and help them succeed in life.
You know, with this healthcare reform, one of the things that they with this, you know, with starting with January 1st, they realized that a lot of the people that were uninsured and were not being served by our healthcare were this transition age youth population, the 18 to 25. And with this healthcare reform, you know, our kids can stay on our insurance all the way till the age of 25. Like, as soon as they turn, 25 and 364 days.
They're done. Yep.
Yeah, but, you know, just there was a need. There's a great need. The healthcare realized that, you know, and our mental health, we realized it through MHSA back in 2004 regarding this transition age youth. So, you know, hey, we were ahead of them, you know, seven years ahead of them, realizing, targeting this population, that there is a need for this, the 16 to 25, for mental health. And finally now, health care, okay, you can keep them on your insurance up to the age of 25.
So that kind of reflects kind of a national view that this may be,
yes,
people that need more attention. So you guys have a Mental Health Service Act program, which I guess means for people with mental health disorders from the ages of 16 to 25. What's that look like? I mean, how do you know whether or not your 16 to 25-year-old is that person?
Well, usually what happens is they have to go through the meeting the criteria process for services here with us, just like any other program in behavioral health. And we usually get referrals, and we partner with probation department, Department of Social Services, the schools, community schools. We should get referrals from them. And what we do, we usually go in through the intake assessment, which is the first step that they have to go through, in which they'll see the clinician, and whether the clinician will determine whether that individual will meet medical necessity. If they do meet medical necessity, what's going to happen, they're going to be assigned a mental health rehab technician. They'll also go through an initial nursing assessment, and then as well see a psychiatrist.
Can I go back a step, though? Let me come back, because I want to kind of walk through this real slow, because I'm trying to, you know, break it down. So basically, your agencies are your eyes and ears out in the field. The people that are working with 16-year-olds at schools, with juvenile hall or social services, which would tend to suggest kids that may be having more problems than other kids in the community. Are there any other kind of signs and symptoms that would be like, hey, maybe I need to explore services for my kid? I mean, if you're a parent, for example.
Yeah, if you're a parent, you know, the parent could be seeing some conduct disorder from the kids, a behavior that they haven't seen, whether, you know, it could be their son, you know, kind of feeling depressed, or maybe some trauma going on with the family, anything that could trigger and impair their social life that they used to do with normality, you know, they could always refer their son to.
Well, if the parent has noticed these symptoms, how difficult is it, because you're working with these 16, 17, 18 years old. When they're 18, they're an adult. You know, they can make their own decisions.
I'm afraid to admit now that I'm old enough that all of them act a little bit off, don't they?
You know, at 18, 19, you know, they're, you know, when they're minors, a parent can have them say so. You know, they can, you know, regarding their mental health treatment, it's up to the parents. You know, they have the authority. But once they turn 18, how difficult has it been to engage this population to make them come in and receive services?
Well, it is difficult because they turn 18 and they usually want to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Surf's up.
Surf's
well,
up.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're 18. Remember when we turned 18, we thought, hey, you know, we're 18, we're adults, we can... You're not. You don't need to. I'm an adult now.
Yeah,
you
can't tell me. That at 16,
you know, you can't tell me what time to come in.
Exactly, and that's what's so unique and challenging with this program, that you got kids, young adults that between the ages of 18 and 25, and once they're turned 18, they just want to do whatever they want to do.
They don't want to hear, especially if they've been told all their lives what to do.
Correct.
You know, they've been in the system, mm-hmm. you know, and through probation. through foster youth, mm-hmm. Veteran Social Services.
And life hasn't been working very well for those families. It's not like they've been.
But the important thing is most of these young adults, they usually still tend to live with the parents, right? So,
which is difficult because, mm-hmm. you know, if you're an adult and you're a young adult and you're living with your mom and dad is telling you to, you know, you can't, you need to come home. Well, how do parents,
you know, yeah, and that's
tell your adult child, mm-hmm. You're not allowed to go out tonight.
Yeah, and that's when our mental health rehab technicians come into effect and kind of, you know, educate the clients and the individuals of, you know, the importance of them to continue with services and so forth. So, and they do a very good job with it.
Well, and going out at night and enjoying a rich social life full of rewarding experiences with peers of your age may, in fact, be a normal, okay thing to do. So, you know,
It is normal, but, you know, sometimes
within some range of mm-hmm. safe behavior.
So I
got a question for Evelyn. Evelyn, you work directly with this population as service staff, correct?
Yes.
So how do you engage? How do you get the 16 to 25-year-old population to buy into this whole idea of there may be something here for them that helps their life and makes it easier or better?
And also the stigma.
The
stigma, especially for a young, you know, young person, you know, just coming here to mental health.
Okay, so they don't like listening to adults. They don't want to hear about mental health stuff.
They want to have their own freedom, liberty.
They don't want to be feeling like they're being controlled.
So
how do you,
that's a major
how
one.
Do you sell your program in a way that addresses those legitimate issues for that age group?
That's a very good question, and good morning to all of you guys.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hi. Well, actually, first, with my experience, I have experience with my clients. First, you kind of educate them on the services that we're provide, right? And then you kind of review their overall life and the pros and cons of what they're doing at this point.
And so first you sit down and you kind of say, here's what we're going to do for it. So you're not going to, like, put them to bed?
No.
You're not going to, like, be the probation officer?
No.
Are you going to drug test them?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
That's not my scope of practice.
Are you going to nag them?
No.
Oh, why not? That's fun.
That's not my purpose.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work, exactly.
Only two husbands. Okay, so how do you explain this to a kid? What do you do for them in terms of services?
What kind of services? We provide case management services at the TAE program. We assist in linkage to community agencies. So, for example, if the child or the young adult wants to return back to a school and finishes high school, we do linkage and referrals to adult ed. And some of them have even graduated from high school and they want to continue their education. So what we do is we do linkage to the community college that we have here in Pear Valley College, and we assist them and coach them on how to enrolled in that agency. And
so for some kids, that must sound pretty useful. And I know at least their probably initial experiences of not having a lot of education makes it difficult to get a job, if nothing else.
Right. Or some of them, they don't want to continue their education, which is fine, but then we have to do linkage in vocational rehab, which we do referrals to the One Stop or to any other agency that provide that service.
Yeah.
And we do guide them and we do assist them and coach them in the application process and how to ask questions, because some of the kids that I have in my caseload, they don't even know where to go. So that's what we do. Also, we provide rehabilitation services. So what that means is we kind of teach
young adults.
Clients, yes, on cognitive behavioral therapy. And what that means is we teach and we taught emotional behaviors and modify their thinking by applying cognitive behavioral therapy to them. Some of them might have poor interpersonal and skills, so we provide some kind of interventions on that. We also provide problem solving skills by teaching them social skills, coping skills, also anger management, self-control, or social responsibility. That's some of the interventions that we do as a case manager. We also coordinate services. We make sure that they attend their psychiatric appointments, make sure that they're taking their medications, or if they have any side effects, we refer them to our nurse in behavioral health to monitor that. We provide updates to the psychiatrist and to our clinical staff as well, so the treatment, they could have an overall picture of the whole treatment that the client is having.
So most of your young adults, it sounds like, are kind of in like the angry acting out scope. Is that
some of them? Yes.
Okay.
What other illnesses are you encountering?
Attention deficit disorder, ADHD, oppositional defiant disorder.
So attention deficit. Typically, we think about that. Well, it's like little kid stuff, right? But it sticks around.
Yes, I have seen them in 18, 19.
What's it look like when kids get that old? What's it look like? I mean, it's
more inattentive, distracted still. They forget things. They lose their wallet. Yes, they don't remember appointments, so they're very forgetful.
And for a young adult, for any adult, that could be the kiss of death, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, because eventually you'll lose jobs if you keep forgetting stuff. You won't do well in school.
Mm-hmm.
You won't get your bills paid on time. Your credit rating, which now young adults are actually aware of.
But going back through the assisting them in the college, going into our local community college here, that is just for some of these young adults, if they don't have an assistance, they can get lost through the process. You know, the registration, what classes to get, what kind of career path or educational goal do they have. They can just easily, without that assistance, you could easily get lost, you know. And because it's difficult for not having, if you have a loving, supportive family that, you know, you don't have a mental illness, you can still get lost through the system at IBC because there's so many kids. And Scott and I went to a training a couple years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, where I had to pretend, do some role playing, and I was the staff at the college.
I remember that.
And one of the other supervisors was the mental health rehab tech or case manager, and another person was a client. And I just started asking them questions. Do you have this? Did you take this test? Did you register? Have you met with a counselor? Have you done this other testing? Do you know where you're placing? Where English level are you going to be taking? Are you eligible for a placement, the math level, they got lost.
So what I'm hearing is that life for that age group is already difficult. There's some important things to kind of get started, career,
yes,
education, probably relationships.
Setting up your place to live, you know, just your own place, you
decisions
know, an apartment.
About family, making, building stuff.
Correct.
Alcohol and drugs, that's a big part of that age group.
That's true.
So you've got all this stuff where if a person didn't have a mental health disorder, it's still a challenging time period.
It could be overwhelming.
Very much so for anybody 16 to 25.
Right.
So now you throw in a mental health disorder. I'm sorry, talking with my hands. So now you throw in a mental health disorder and you need support with a mental health disorder, mm-hmm. and it sounds like from your rehabilitation and your psychiatric services that you've got care covered there. But then you've also got all this stuff going on out in terms of dealing with life. You've got jobs, you've got health care, you've got education, you've got housing, you've got all this other stuff. And you guys actually take care of those things too, or help with them?
We assist with them. With the housing, we do the linkage to community agencies that offer that service to them, or any other agency that could assist the client to get home.
Because if you were having a housing crisis, I guess that might make your mental health stuff a lot worse. Huh?
Well, for example, you know, hey, you're 18, and we're looking at this 18 to 25, even though it's from 16 to 25, but 18, you have, you know, you're using drugs or you have a mental health issue and your parents have said, you know what, you're 18. You're out of here. You're out of this house. Where do they go? What do you do? I mean, they don't have to keep them there because they're not minors anymore. You know, as long as they're minors, the parents are responsible. But once you turn 18.
In that situation, because I have experienced that with some of my clients in my caseload, of course, the parents are already frustrated with their adult young, well, I mean, your young adult.
And some parents, you know, we don't want to say this, but some parents can't, you know, they just are waiting for that 18 to turn 18. And
yeah. We try to educate the parent as well on the client's mental illness and that this program is going to help them how to get along with each other, improve their communication skills and social skills in order for them not to fight or to negotiate the arrival time. We provide some kind of parenting skills as well under the case management portion. And we assist with that, but some of the parents don't like you said, that they kick them out. So what we do, we contact other agencies to assist with that.
But parents sound like parents are a key support for this age.
Right. And I try to engage the parents, too, as a support person as well or a person in that client's life to assist them, too, to transition, too.
That's because it could be, like Evelyn said, you know, the lack of education, you know, the not knowing about their mental health illness. Or maybe it's, you know, all this time, this child went undiagnosed.
Right.
And then they realized, you know what, that's why they were acting and behaving this way because of their mental health illness.
Yeah.
And then they learn to understanding.
Right.
All right. I understand it's 8 o'clock. It's time to take a break. This is Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in the Imperial Valley, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the complete podcast version of Imperial County's Behavioral Health Service, Let's Talk About It, brought to you by KXORadio.com.
And welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And also you can access, if you missed this show, the first part of this show, you can
or
access.
Or any of our wonderful shows.
Oh, wonderful. You can access through the podcast at kxoradio.com.
Yeah,
click
good
on the
morning.
Podcast.
Welcome. We're here today with Evelyn Bettis. She's a mental health rehabilitation specialist, and Renee Felix. He's a program supervisor. Both of them are coming from the Transitional Age Youth Program, which is a Mental Health Service Act. See, you guys got so many acronyms. A Mental Health Service Act program.
Better known as MHSA. Any program.
And it is a full-service partnership. What's that mean, Renee? What's a full-service partnership?
Well, full-service partnership kind of means that we work together with different partners in the community. We work together with probation department of social services, the schools, anybody who's involved in the youth or the young adult life. That's who we work with, and we work together to try to help our clients and succeed what their goals, what they want to do in life, and help them out.
Okay, and full service, like back in the old days when gas stations actually used to do that. Do you know in Oregon that gas stations are required to give you full service, that they don't have self-serve gas in Oregon?
Little where?
Oregon. Oregon, oh. The whole state. Anyway, you know, back
in... It's so cold. Who wants to get out?
back in the good old days, full service used to mean, you know, you got your windows washed, you got your oil checked, you got your tire pressure checked, and stuff like that. Does that same thing kind of cross over to what you guys do? I mean, is it really like whatever that person needs or wants, you guys check and kind of help support?
Yeah, whatever the needs that our clients have, we work together as partners to try to help them out. You know, we kind of use the whatever it takes approach. So whatever we have to do, to help our clients, that's usually what we do and work together.
Great. Welcome back. 337-8874 is the phone number if you have questions about this. We're talking about the 16 to 25-year-old age group.
Evelyn, besides the 16 to 25 age group, is there other criteria besides having a mental health illness?
Yeah, there are several TAE population that... besides the 16 to 25, one of them is that the youth between the age 16 to 25 are homeless or at risk of becoming homeless.
That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one, and yes. Especially here in the Valley with mm-hmm. high unemployment.
Mm-hmm. The other one is aging out of the mental health system. So they're really 18, 17 and a half. They're aging out from the mental health system. The other one is aging out of the child welfare system. as well.
And that means like the foster?
The foster kids.
Mm-hmm. Is that also 18?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The other one is the youth with a co-occurring substance abuse disorder.
And that's what Scott mentioned earlier. Yeah. The kids who are using drugs.
Right.
They have a mental health illness and drug use. Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is adults between the ages of 18 to 25 that are involved in the criminal justice system. That is all of the TAE population. But they also have to meet the criteria, like Rene was saying, on the impairment diagnosis, medical necessity. They have to be clients of behavioral health as well. Mm-hmm. And then to meet that target.
So any one of those five different homeless or aging out of systems, et cetera, criteria?
Yes.
But if they, if our listeners miss one of those criteria, they can contact the program.
They can contact the program. The number is 760-336-8532 if they need more information about the TAE.
If they say they heard it on Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness in Imperial Valley, do they get like a free prize or something?
Come on. They get an appointment.
Ooh, yeah, that'll work.
My manager is ready. They'll get full service.
Hoping for a T-shirt or a coffee cup. No, not today, huh?
No, not today.
Still, you know, with you know, it's a really important age group because if you know, your whole trajectory as an adult really gets established at that 16. Some of it starts
you
in childhood,
you know,
obviously, but
it's 18. Turning 18 is not the what you know, the flipping on the light switch or just the magical age where everything you know everything.
That was really disappointing, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I thought that, you know, as soon as I turned 18, everything, I would figure out my life. Well, I didn't get to figure it out until even after college. I figured out what I wanted to do, and so I went and continued with more school.
That's
when I realized that my bachelor's, that wasn't my cup of tea.
That's why they need guidance, education, that support system is very important for them, for this population, yes.
Well, in particular, you know, again, we're talking about this being a hard time, and then you throw in a severe, serious mental health condition on top of that, and you can just imagine how difficult it could be with all the choices and all the wrong tracks that young adults can get on. You know, it's nice that you guys are there to get them on good tracks.
Yes.
How many kids you got in college now? Are you keeping score?
I have like three.
Nice.
Three that are actually attending, and then two in the process of enrolling this semester for spring.
Great.
It's difficult, you know. My nephew, he's, you know, they don't know what am I going to do, you know, what they're those questions, okay. You know, what I don't know what to major in, you know, that whole thing, because you need to figure out what is your major, because counselors at IVC always, what's your major? They don't know, and they get all like, I need to figure it out. And I go, don't worry, you know, wait, you know, just you'll figure it out on your own. You know, what classes do you like? You know, what is the class that you like the most? But, you know, just
get in line behind the cute girls or something. I don't know. Career planning 101. What are you doing here? I don't know. It's like
did.
A good line.
You know what? I did take that class, the career 101. I still couldn't figure it out.
So you've got kids. Well, you know, this is interesting because when we talk traditionally about, you know, mental health treatment, I think the conception in the in you know, the common community is, well, that's like a psychiatrist, a guy, maybe some guy with a Freudian beard or something, and now we know because we've got this, you know, change of generation into like medication and stuff that's a big part of psychiatric treatment, and so I think the common conception is that when you come to these mental health programs, you get a prescription and you take your pills and life goes on. It sounds like you guys are doing a lot more. And in terms of selling this to kids, in terms of selling this to young adults, you know, in their heads, probably they're thinking, this is just some old dude with a beard who's going to give me some pills and tell me to take them and be quiet. When you start talking about college, when you start talking about career choices, when you start talking about housing safety and security, kids must start to listen to that.
Yes, they do. Yes.
And parents are probably interested, too, because I know, you know, I got some kids in college, and it's nice to have some supports available, and sometimes I wish I had more.
Yes. To the parents, it's kind of relieving seeing that someone from the behavioral health services is assisting their son or daughter to that services, to the linkage to any community agency, because some of the parents don't even know what services are provided in this community.
Well, so let's kind of break down your services. Let's start with, I guess, the easy one, the medication support, because that's the one that everybody kind of gets already. Mm-hmm.
That is part of the intake process that Imperial County Behavioral Health offers, that they have to see the nurse for the initial nursing assessment. They have to see the psychiatrist for the initial. The psychiatrist might prescribe medication, may not, but if he does prescribe it, it's in the it's the client's choice
to take it
to take it or not. I mean, the
because it's voluntary. This yes. program is voluntary.
So what medication support is, that service is of course prescribing medication, administering and monitoring psychiatric medication necessary to treatment mental disorders. Like I mentioned, it's the client's choice if he wants to agree to take the medication or not.
Well, and medications have come a long way, baby.
Right.
I mean, they can be real difference makers in people's
yes.
lives now.
Right. That's true. So it's a client's choice. Another services that we provide under the TAE program is therapy. And we have different therapy now. We have the family functioning therapy, we have the trauma-focused therapy, and then we have the individual therapy.
So, like, Baskin-Robbins with three flavors?
Kind of. So it depends, like Renee was saying, depends on the needs of the clients and the necessity of the clients, and then we evaluate and then we refer them to those services.
Yeah. We just started last year with a family therapy, mm-hmm. providing family therapy. We were just providing individual psychotherapy, and the clinician would meet with the parent, you know, but now we offer family therapy at the family's home, if the family wishes to be seen at their own home, in the evening, in the morning, in the afternoon, whenever they are available.
Nice. That's kind of a big step. Now, because you've got all these, like, I almost heard the little restricted trademark name after the name, functional family therapy trademark. These are evidence-based practices now?
They are evidence-based. Practice, yes.
And there's like models and training.
There are,
and
I think there's curriculum. Yes, they are. The clinicians are trained, and they need to follow, I believe, a curriculum.
So when you go and see a therapist, they don't say like, so if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be, and why? That no more.
I don't know.
That's gone.
I don't know what you were talking about. That's how we don't know about that. I have no idea what you're talking about.
How does it feel?
I know. The other program that we offer also under TAE, which is brand new to us, it's the Nurturing Parenting Program under Behavioral Health. That is an evidence-based program designed to build nurturing skills as alternative to abusive parenting. They offer to the parents and then to the adolescents.
Mm-hmm. How many of your cases come from difficult parenting situations? Is that like most of them or virtually all of them? Or
several.
What do you see?
Several.
Most?
Most.
Yeah.
Well, it's difficult. It's difficult raising kids. I mean, it's not easy. You know, it's difficult. So everybody, you know, I think a lot of families have problems with communication. They have relationship problems. There's problems in the family. I don't think there's a family that has no problems.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everybody's
got their own
degree. They have
wellness thing going on.
Yeah, but there's the families that can cope with them, you know, be able to resolve them, and there's families that are unable to resolve them. So
what with nurturing parenting, what's kind of the focus? How does it?
Well, the nurturing parenting classes, they are 12 sessions for 3 hours, and we meet once a week. And it's the parent and the adolescents between the ages of 12 to 18 that they have to.
Is this the one with the steel cage? I think I saw that on TV.
No.
Oh.
No.
The families learn in that in this sessions, 12 sessions, is improved communication strategies, how to recognize each other's needs, how to understand the period of adolescence, and ways to build their own personal power, self-concept, and self-esteem.
And I know ICOE, Imperial County Office of Education, also has nurturing parenting, but those are kids who do not have a diagnosis a mental health diagnosis.
And I think it's offered for elementary kids at school sites.
At schools. And ours is, they have three age groups. They have the infants, elementary, and then the high school kids.
And you want to know something cool? Like public service woman here? Mm-hmm. We actually have, if you go to the website, kxoradio.com, we actually have comprehensive shows on functional family therapy, on trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, and on nurturing parenting.
That's true.
So, point of reference.
And we're updating also our website at the Network of Care, Imperial County Network of Care. Mm-hmm. And they have all the descriptions of all the programs and all the services that Behavioral Health offers.
And so I think we also hope to get our links to our radio show up there, too.
Yes.
So, okay, Elva, what else you got?
What else do we got?
You mentioned about trauma-focused CBT. Mm-hmm. And that's, can you give a little bit, well, that's only for kids
that have experienced a trauma in their life, yes.
Okay, another evidence-based program.
Another evidence-based program.
All right. 337-8874 is the phone number, so let's talk about it. We're here with Evelyn Perez, who's a mental health rehabilitation specialist, or I guess MERS, if you wanted to blend your acronym. And Renee Felix, who's program supervisor. And you guys are both from the Transition Age Youth Program, which is a Mental Health Service Act full service partnership program, talking about your program for 16 to 25 year olds. So you've got your nurturing parenting, you've got your therapy flavors, you've got psychiatric nursing and psychiatrist services. What other services do you offer your youth?
Services supports.
Yes.
We could offer the alcohol and drug, of course. If the client needs
treatment, the actual alcohol and drugs.
Treatment.
We don't sell it. We don't offer it.
We could refer them to other services that Behavioral Health has, such as the ELP program. Or any other community agency services that they need.
And the good thing about the TAPE program, the transition, is that if they do offer, refer to the alcohol and drug, they can just walk across the hall. We're in the same building.
So co-located.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Co-located.
Exactly.
How many of the people you work with, Evelyn, how many of those youth have substance use issues, use substances? Is that like most?
Most, yes. Mm-hmm. They go hand on hand.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, like I said, for those young adults, they turn 18, they could all go Mexicali. They can drink legally there, and then since it's the 16 to 25, as soon as they turn 21, they don't need to go to Mexico. They can just get it here.
But your kids, let's talk about Evelyn's kids for that. Yeah, Evelyn's kids, I bet you they didn't wait until they turned 18.
No. They have a history of alcohol and drugs.
When are we talking, like 10, 12, 14?
Some of them 12, yes. 12, 13, their first experience. And alcohol and drugs.
Okay. And most of your kids also have not or did not graduate from high school?
Exactly. Some of them are not graduates.
Okay. So as you look at it, you start to get a picture of who the people, and they have a mental health disorder. So mm-hmm. if you have a kid with a mental health history or an undiagnosed kid mm-hmm. who's struggling in high school and maybe at risk of not graduating, who has substance use issues, and who is having a difficult parent-child relationship, you've already...
That's overwhelming, you know what?
It sounds like you've got a kid who may fit really well into this program, because it seems like those are kind of the general things that are going on for the kids that end up on your doorstep.
And that's what I guess what we want to try and convey with this radio show, is that the services that are out there for parents, that there are services there, and also for the young adults, that they are not alone. They need assistance. They can always contact us, and based on the criteria, we can see if they meet the criteria and can be admitted to the program.
Nice. So, Evelyn, what are your coaching strategies? What kind of stuff do you do to get kids to see the light?
Especially to try and get them in.
You try to engage them. As like I mentioned, you educate, you engage, you review their pros and cons. What is it that they want in life?
And that's a hard one.
You take it from there.
So when they sit down and they list the pros, what kind of stuff do they put down?
that they want to, they list positive stuff that they want to, they want a job, that they want to graduate, and then we move from positive strength. Of course, they mention also their negative thoughts and their negative behaviors, but I don't try to focus on that. I try to focus on the positive and what they want to mm-hmm. accomplish, and then we move from
there. I kind of was going to go there. So you've got this kid who, I want to graduate, I want to get a good job. Okay, fine. And now they're going out and staying out all night, not doing quite so safe stuff.
Wow.
How do you get that to them? How do you get in their heads?
Of course, you review the pros and cons of their behavior and what is that going out is affecting them, or is it causing them problems, or what is?
So you kind of force them to look at that, huh?
Right. But before we do all these services, we evaluate and evaluate their impairment, and then we base it on goals. We meet with the nurse, and of course the client's input is very important, and we do some treatment plan goals that we monitor, and then we provide interventions for them to meet those goals.
So you guys figure out, as a result of the mental health disorder, exactly what's going wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the client has a lot of say-so in that. He signs it, and he's responsible for those goals. Of course, with the assistance of the case manager and the medication support staff, clinical staff, in order for them to achieve that.
Okay, so basically I get really discouraged and angry and depressed, and I stop going to school.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so because of my mental health disorder, now I'm failing school or at risk of dropout or something like that. So now we begin to target that.
Right. We do interventions, and we monitor that, and we assist for him to go to school again.
Mm-hmm.
So we use kind of the practical measures of function.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And also, I know that there's been a new addition to the staff, the role of the peer supporter.
Yes, we have a new addition to the TAPE program, which is a peer supporter.
What is the role of that person?
Basically, the role of the peer supporter is somebody who has experienced what our clients are experiencing in the program. So they kind of give a feel of, they as well meet with the clients together with the MERS. They kind of explain what they've been through. sometimes what have they done to kind of succeed in life, and just kind of give them another support there for our clients. That our peer support is that they've kind of like been there, done that, mm-hmm. and look where I'm at and so forth. So
and the peer support is the same age,
correct?
In the age.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a person who's already kind of gone through the system and navigated some of the pitfalls and experienced some of the ups and downs. And come out relatively on the high end of the scale, who can kind of say, hey, look, you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You can believe Evelyn. Evelyn is absolutely telling you what you need to know.
Correct, yeah.
Well, it's because I think one of the things is that, as I mentioned before, a lot of these kids, as they turn 18, they've been told what to do all their lives by adults, by us.
Yeah.
And, they turn 18, they don't want to hear it anymore. Maybe they can hear it a little bit better, maybe more receptive to somebody their own age.
Correct. Yeah, and the peer supports there, just kind of letting them know the wrong path they took and why they took this correct path now and where they're at. So it could be like another motivational for our clients to kind of go through the recovery.
Maybe a safe person just to check in with too for the youth who are experiencing things that they may not feel comfortable going to treatment staff or adults or whatever the barrier is.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So that's good. I'm glad. And we still need more peer supporters.
Yes. We want to get a little more peer supporters and help us out with our program.
And I know that an adult, they need a peer supporter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, phone numbers. If
phone numbers for all our listeners out there, and before I give, what's this, phone number 760-336-8532. Give us a call, listeners out there. And I just want to mention that we cover the whole geographically, we cover the whole Imperial County. So if you
they have to be residents here of Imperial County.
Yes.
You actually have to yell that on this radio station to be heard in some parts of Imperial County.
Yes. If you guys
Winter
are listening
Haven.
In Salton City and Nylon, Bombay Beach, we're here to serve you guys. So just give us a call, 760-336-8532, and we're here to provide services to any of the youth out here between the ages of 16 and 25. Another thing, if there are any foster youth out there listening, you know, just give us a call. Because
a foster parent.
Or foster parents as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. So if you've got teenage kids in the foster system right now and you're a foster parent, this may be something
that's one of the populations that here in the Tay we want to target it and
increase it.
And increase it with the
if they need the service.
Well, yeah, in particular, if they're struggling and have a mental health history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those two things together will get you in through the door.
Yes. So foster parents, give us a call. But another thing, but you know what, I saw since MHSA came on board, you know, we've been able to provide the mental health services, but, you know, with this full service partnership, there's so many other services, you know, and I know that the mental health rehab techs and the specialists, you know, they've done, you know, requests for helping other assistants with the clients regarding getting their driver's license, getting clothing to do those job interviews. You know, a lot of these young adults, they're motivated and they make applications to businesses here, you know, to jobs here, and they don't have clothes to do a job interview. So I know you guys have been able to assist them.
Yes, Maria, that's one of the supports that we have here through the program. And sometimes you got, you know, families that, you know, might be low income and so forth, and they don't have the income to maybe buy their kids clothing or maybe get their kids a DMV, a driver's license, and so forth. So that's what we're here for, to support them in the things that we can. And we have assisted many of our youth and young adults with those.
Even with housing.
Services. Housing as well. You might have families that, you know, recently, you know, because they might lose their houses, you know, so forth. And we're there to help them out and give them a hand.
I think that's the real connection that Mental Health Service Act programs made, was that the environmental context of life can really exacerbate mental health conditions. And,
that's
and sometimes
exactly right.
You can take care of some of that stuff. You can help people to sustain
their wellness.
Well,
if you don't have your basic necessities, you know, if you don't have food or shelter.
Sure.
You know, your mental health illness is going to get worse. Like you said, it's going to exacerbate.
Yeah. And hard to do my depression homework.
You need to have your basic needs. You need the basic needs. Exactly. You need your basic needs. You need to have food. You have to have shelter. You know, you have to have some clothing, you know.
Yes. So. It's neat that, and that was a consumer-led initiative. So it was neat that was finally recognized and made a part of mental health care in California. So we're grateful for that.
Yes.
Thank you both for coming aboard today.
Thank you.
Thank you for the invitation.
Sure. And anybody who's interested, make sure and hook this back up to the podcast. We'll be available on KXLradio.com in a matter of moments, because Mario's already
working on it.
He's our
board op. Flexing his fingers right
show
now.
Show producer person. Yeah. he's flexing his flash drive. So thank you very much for listening. Join us again next week. We'll be back. This is Let's Talk About It. I'm Scott.
This is Maria. And just a reminder, to this Saturday, there's going to be a farmer's market in Imperial. I know that because I live in Imperial. And it's fun. Last time they had snow for the kids. A little bunny hill. It was fun.
Nice.
So, yeah.
We'll see you out there.
See you. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUVO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.